Let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. I'm not going to be covering a lot today, but we are going to be covering, interestingly enough, we're talking about the gospel being spread by mankind. Now we're going to be covering something different, the gospel being spread by angels. And that's where we take up in chapter 14, starting in verse 6, only covering down 6 through 8 today. But notice, let's read it together. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Kind of neat. The theme today really is the gospel, because I'd forgotten until this morning. I knew gospel for Asia was coming, but I forgot it was this Sunday till I got here. But it's neat now, because again, the whole point of this is the gospel being preached to all the world. This whole passage here, remember the setting. The rapture has taken place. We are now in that final 7 years of the earth's period that the Bible talks about in Revelation. We're now to the final 3.5 years of that point, and the Antichrist is going to stand up and declare that he's God. And at this point, when he declares that he's God, he's going to demand that the world worship him. And the Bible says at that point, he'll make everyone, small and great, all over around the world, take a mark, either on their hand or their forehead. And if you don't take that mark, you will die in more than one way. What do I mean by that? Number one, he says, if you don't take the mark, I'm going to kill you. The Bible says he will be cutting people's heads off that refuse to take the mark. And it will be the mark of his name, because he's going to be demanding that the world worship him. But not only that, the Bible says that with the mark, you can buy and you can sell. You can go get groceries. You can sell your home. You can do whatever the case you can do. You can live normal life. Without the mark, you can't do anything. No grocery shopping. No selling of personal belongings. You are literally on your own. Some that may be able to live off the land or something, get the Rambo types or whatever. There may be some that survive for a certain amount of time. But the bottom line is he's going to be putting to death those that won't worship him. There aren't going to be those believers that the earth used to have sharing the gospel, other than those that have 144,000 that have now been saved, others that are being saved along the process, but not nearly as many around the world to preach the gospel. And there's going to be a whole section of the world who is unsaved and is going to get that last call from God. That last opportunity to be saved. You know what's amazing to me about the Lord is that if somebody rejects and rejects and rejects, you know, if you're trying to be a friend with someone, or you're trying to reach out to someone, or you're doing something you're trying to do, every one of us have a point where we say, that's enough. I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. Now, God has that point as well, but God's point is way farther out there than our point is. And the point in saying that is God's point here. If I was God by this time, and probably many of you, we would have already written the world off in many ways. You got to remember, God has already given the warning. The rapture has taken place. Now, during that first 3.5 years of the final 7 years, those who have believed in the Bible and recognize all the Christians are gone, however that's going to be explained in the world, they will have come to the Lord. And the only ones left are the worst of the worst. The only ones left are those who have said, we not only don't want God, now we've seen all the miracles, and we still don't want God. Now we've seen everything the Bible said would happen, and we still don't want God. I don't know about you, but if I saw those people and they're at that point, I would say, that's it, then you're done. And yet God is so gracious. When we come to this point where the Antichrist is about to make everyone take this mark, this is an eternal decision that there's no turning back on. There's no way to get out of it. It's almost like if you knew the day that everyone was going to die, you would go to them with greater desperation, wouldn't you? You see, this is going to be a rare moment in history where you will know the day that everyone is going to die spiritually. Because the day that everyone on the earth takes that mark, the Bible says they will be eternally condemned and there's no more chance for salvation. You see, we can reject the Lord and we still have a chance to be saved until we die, right? Not if you take the mark. Once you take the mark, you can live the whole rest of the time. You only have 3.5 years to go. But even if you can live for 50, 60, 70 years, you can't be saved at that point. And why? Because God is going to make it so clear that this mark to worship this man who's declaring that he's God is a decision that you're making that is separating you from God for eternity if you choose to do that. You say, well, Mark, that's an awfully harsh thing. How could God do that? What if someone doesn't know? Sometimes I get that question. What if you take the mark and you don't know it? Trust me, you'll know if you take the mark. Now, if you're a believer, you'll never have to make that decision, right? You're out of here. The rapture of the church, you're gone. There's no decision to make about the mark. But as far as the actual mark of the beast, because there's things today, there's a company today, Verichip, down in Florida. They have people that are putting this microchip in their hand and in their forehead, and they're using it for technology and research, and some people are using it to get in a nightclub down there. There's this club down there you can use the chip now to get into in Florida, and you can get your chip. You know, that's how they verify their members and you whatever, this kind of thing, a club you can be a part of. And they're talking about using it for medical technology. And, for example, if the whole medical bill goes through, then everyone's medical information needs to be kept up with, and you're going to have to know where it is. They'll be able to store it on you. If you're knocked unconscious, if you're in an accident, everything's there. So the wisdom for all this to happen is brilliant. That's not the mark of the beast. However, I still wouldn't do it. I'm telling you, I'd be like, nope, sorry, you just keep your chips, I'll have the sandwich. But I'm not taking that because, you know, the bottom line is, I'm not, even though I know that's not, okay? It's just too weird, okay? But when you take the mark, you will know it, because this particular mark, the Antichrist is going to have the mark of his name on it. And you'll be taking it. And before anyone on the earth, now at this 3.5 year point, this is where we are historically, prophetically in this passage. At this point, God knows this is so serious, he's going to send an angel. All the believers are gone, except for those that have been saved during the Great Tribulation. He's now going to send these angels surrounding the earth saying, don't do it. Repent. Receive Jesus Christ, the one who brings the everlasting gospel. And we'll see that language in here. The gospel is everlasting. It has no beginning and has no end. We're going to be in heaven. The gospel will still be in place, although no one else can be saved. But the gospel never outdates. It never wears out. God is outside of time. It is the only way that God has given mankind to be saved. And God is going to directly head on face all these other religions and all these other things, the earth worship and all the stuff that's going to be going on, and saying, guys, listen to this angel. You need to repent right now and give your life to me and do not take the mark of this false beast or whatever, this Antichrist, or you are eternally condemned. And I'll tell you what, if you couldn't believe after an angel circles the earth, when are you going to believe? I see some people and I think, what's it going to take? What's going to have to happen in your life for you finally to believe? These are going to be some of those. The valley of decision. The choice has to be made, and God takes drastic measure by sending these angels. Notice verse 6. John in his vision said, then I saw another angel. Remember, we're at the 3.5 year point. The mark is about to be given. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Now notice all that's in this verse. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. Now, first of all, notice here, this angel's flying in the midst of heaven, having, as I said, the everlasting gospel. It's forever. It never runs out, never outdated. It is God's truth from beginning to the end. Even before Jesus Christ came, guys, the gospel was in place. Mark, how could the gospel be in place? He hadn't gone to the cross and we didn't even know who Jesus was. The Bible says in Genesis that in chapter 3 that God gave the gospel, God gave the everlasting gospel, we were told in the New Testament, by telling that there would be a future Messiah. A seed would be given. And if those who believed in that promised seed, that promised future Messiah, they would be saved. So those who before Christ, even before he came, they believed that he was coming. They believed that one day he would, and they put their faith in him before he came. They didn't know all the details about what it would be like when he came, but they still knew that he would. And so they believed. So the everlasting gospel, and notice who it's preached to. Notice this, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. The bottom line is the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the entire world. Have you ever, and I say that with frustration because maybe you haven't heard it, but as a teacher of God's word, people will come to me sometimes because this is what I do, and they say things, how in the world, how dare you try to take your gospel or preach your belief system in other parts of the world? You know, how dare you take Jesus Christ over to the Middle East and try to convert those in the Middle East to the American religion? Newsflash for you, our worship of Jesus Christ came from the Middle East. We didn't make it up here. It's just now going back. Here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ is for every people group, every nation, every tribe. This is not an American religion we've come up with. It's not a white man's religion. It's not a black man's religion. It's not a Mexican religion. It's not a Hindu religion. It's not anything. It is the gospel. It is the way to salvation. And that is that Jesus died on the cross for everybody's sin in this room. He rose again the third day. And if we believe in him, here's the thing. Although he died for all of us, if we don't receive it for ourselves, it doesn't count. unless you let the Lord's blood wash you by saying a prayer and saying, all right, I take that blood for myself. Put your name in there. I receive you. You're not going to be saved. And so this everlasting gospel going to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people, even as the gospel for Asia guys are doing and what we're called to do here in Knoxville and everywhere we go. And the angels basically circling the earth, preaching the gospel. Now, I've heard people say that there's a whole movement today. Maybe you're familiar with it. That's saying that we've got to reach the whole world before Jesus can come back. So we need to organize our missionary organizations. Let me first of all say, I think it's an awesome goal to want to reach everybody on the earth with our missionary organizations. Isn't that great? We need to be doing that. We need to strive to do that. Reach as many as possible. But we're reaching as many as possible so we can take them with us right now. The Bible says that if we don't reach everybody, God's going to send angels to reach the rest. And so don't ever think that if the church doesn't get the gospel out to everyone in the world, Jesus Christ can't come back yet. That is not true. God will make sure the world hears the gospel. And as we see right here in chapter 14, he's doing it by an angel. And now notice what this angel is saying. And this really makes up what the gospel is. Notice first of all in verse 7, he says with a loud voice, fear God. That's the first thing. Fear God. You see, fearing God is what brings many of us to repentance. Some of us come just because, you know, we hear and we know of God's love and we want to receive the Lord. Some of us don't come unless there's some fear involved. Although I think the majority of us need to come to Christ by simply God's love, listen, the Bible says save some with fear. You've got some people, oh, I'm okay, I know I'm going to be all right. That's the kind of person you say, you know what? Do you know anything about hell? Have you read where the Bible talks about hell? Well, I don't know that I believe in hell. That's convenient. That's convenient. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? What if hell is real? What are you going to do that day? Well, I think I've done more good than bad. You're going to gamble your eternal future on that? You're hoping you've done more good than bad? Do you think that's a wise decision? Well, I don't know that I want to talk about religion or whatever. Listen, there is in America today, and I think oftentimes even in the church, and I see this as a pastor, there is a lack of the fear of God. We're losing the fear of God. I don't know what's happened to us. But there seems to be this kind of good old boy, you know, and God is going to let everybody in. And there's a teaching today that God's going to let everybody in. We'll get to that next week. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches hell is real and that hell is everlasting. And there's some, well, we've done more good than we've done more bad. God doesn't grade it by, he doesn't say, okay, have you done more good than bad? Here's what God's going to do. When each one of us in this room stands before God to be judged as to where we will spend eternity, whether in heaven or eternal separation from God, in a place the Bible describes as a lake of fire. I don't ever want to know anything about it. When we stand there before God, he's going to say this. All that's going to matter is, are you perfect? Have you ever sinned? And if you can say, I'm perfect and I've never sinned, even if you made it to that point, you'd be thrown out because now you're lying. Because no one is perfect. And no one has never not sinned. That's probably bad English. All of us have sinned. You get my point. The bottom line is, we have to say, no, it's because of Jesus and his blood. That is why I'm getting in. And we're going to stand before God, and that's going to be the judgment that's going to take place. So we need to realize, God, the fear of God is not bad. A lot of people think that when I say fear of God, it's not like an abusive father. There's child abuse on a kid. We're talking about a respect, a realization that he holds our soul and eternity in his hand. He holds it there. You know, the Bible says, don't fear man who can harm the flesh, but fear God who can cast the soul into hell. Jesus said that. And so we need to take it seriously. So fearing God is a good thing. Secondly, notice the angel says this, fear God and what? Give glory to him. Now, why would the angel say give glory to him? Because people are giving glory to everybody else but him today, aren't they? They're giving glory to everyone else. There's all these religions giving glory to all their gods. There's all these, you know, even in America, giving glory to whatever the Constitution or the way we've done things as to why America's been great. Oftentimes when I see God do things, you know, I saw God do something really awesome here just recently in my life, and somebody was trying to say, wow, you know, give the glory to somebody else. And I said, wait a minute, God did that. God gets the glory. Give God the glory for that. And when you give that message, that upsets some people, especially people who don't love God. Because when you say give God the glory, I remember one time I was in a financial bind. This was years ago and I was single. There was this guy. He was a friend of mine. He was an unbeliever, but he was a friend. I'd shared the gospel with him. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And I was in a real bad place. I needed some money and I was praying, God, you got to bring me money. You know that I'm being faithful. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do financially and all that as far as my responsibilities before God. But God, you know that right now I need this. I don't know where it's going to come from. There's no paycheck for it. I need it right now. And all of a sudden I went to meet with my friend. And out of the blue, I mean, this is the friend, he's never done this. He says, here, I want to give you $100. I'm like, what? He said, I just feel I'm supposed to give you $100. And I was like, God, you're so good. I said, first of all, let me say thank you. That's very kind of you to do that. But let me share with you what I answered a prayer this is. I was just praying to God saying I needed money. And now God, don't you give God the glory for this. God had nothing to do with that. I gave you that. God did not. That was his response. And then I said, well, God did. Whether you like it or not, God did. And if he'd have said, then give it back to me, I would have. Because you know what? God would have had somebody else walk up and hand me the money. I remember Tracy one time coming back on a missions trip. She didn't have any money in the airport. Somebody walked up and gave her $100. How many times has that happened to you? You know, I'm going to start wearing a sign, on a mission trip. You know, on a mission trip, in the airport, whatever. Maybe they should do that on the street, whatever, you know, mission trip. Anyway. But the bottom line is, guys, listen, God is more than able to do that. But we have to give God the glory, don't we? We've got to give him the glory. Don't be afraid of that. I had a situation happen recently where I was with another unbeliever. This didn't happen that long ago. And I knew if I gave God the glory, they would not like it. I did it anyway. This was the Lord that did this. And I got no response, total dead silence, dead air. I expected that. But I'm not about to watch God do something and not say anything. And whatever the consequence might be. And the angel's saying that we have got to give God the glory. Now, why else would he say that? Because the Antichrist is now standing up saying, give me the glory. Take my mark on you. Bow to me. Follow me. And the angel's saying, stop. Don't listen to this. This is an eternal decision. You will die spiritually the day you take it. Whether you're alive physically or not. Do not take that mark. You give glory to God. Do not give glory to the enemy. And don't give it to any other religion or anything else. And here's why. He gives the reason. Notice there. For the hour of God's judgment has come. It means it is time. Hour just means that time frame. The time frame of God's judgment. It's upon us. There's no more time for playing games. Make sure that you have it right. It's the word krisis here in the language, the word judgment here. When it says that his judgment has come, it means a legal judgment. Now understand that. A legal judgment. That's huge to me here. Why is that huge? Because we think we're going to stand before God and God is going to say, well, you're a nice guy and you've done more good than you've done bad. Get on in there. You know, give us a little thing on the head as we go by, right? That's not how God works, guys. The word here means legal judgment. Here's what it says. God is bound by the law, by his legal law. He is bound to do what is right with each individual that stands before him. That's what that means. It's a legal issue. Why can't God just let me in? Why can't God just forgive everybody, even if they don't ask? He can't because he's bound by his own law. God said it is a legal decision. Someone has got to pay for your sin. Either you or Jesus. If Jesus pays for it, you're free and clear. If you've got to pay for it, you're in big trouble. I'm in big trouble because we can't pay for it. It's a legal issue. There's no other way around it. You know, it's interesting. We talk about the law, and we as Christians often say, you know, I'm not under the law. I'm no longer under the law. That's true. We're not under the law. But do you know that the rest of the world is? God is going to judge the world based on the Old Testament law, based on his Bible. The only ones that are no longer under God's eternal law are the Christians because we've been forgiven. Jesus in Matthew 5 said, I fulfilled the law. That is for all those that are in him. But if we're not in him, if you're here today and you're not in Christ, you're going to be judged by the law. You're going to stand before God one day. He's going to open the Old Testament and judge you. That's scary. That's the fear of God. That's why I said, fear God. Worship him. I just realized that I'm going by the clock from the first service and we're out of time, so I've got to go really fast. I need the fear of the clock in me right now. So let's wrap this up. But notice here he says, fear God, for his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs. And another angel follows saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city. Babylon is a picture in scripture of the world religious system because all false religions are based out of Babylon. They started in Babylon, nature worship, all these other false gods start in Babylon. It's a great history lesson if you want to see it. But what God is saying is, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Because Babylon created other avenues to God, other false religions, other Jesuses, and there are lots of them out there. Because of that, he's simply saying this, it's going to be judged. Don't be linked to it. Don't be linked to any religion. Be linked to Jesus Christ. But I want to end with this one thing that really stuck out at me this time going through it. Notice it says, here's who you're to worship in verse 7. Worship him who what? Who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs. Why do you think God would say that? Because what's going to be happening in the last days is that mankind is going to be worshiping the earth. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that as people turn away from the true God, they begin to worship the creature rather than what? The Creator. Guys, do you see any of that starting to happen? Anybody heard of the green movement? Anybody heard of the environmental movement? Listen, I'm not going to get into the argument about whether or not we should be good stewards. We should all be old enough in the Lord to know, yes, we're good stewards with everything God gives us. But we're not to worship the earth. And earth worship is now happening. Did you know the ancient religions, going all the way back to Babylon, what did they worship? The earth. Ever heard of Baal worship? Baal worship was a worship of nature, a worship of the earth. Where do you think the term Mother Earth comes from? I know we use it innocently. But where do you think it comes from? The worship of Gaia, truly worshiping the earth. Here's my point. In the last days, there's going to be an increase in earth worship. We are watching it happen. And as the world is now turning away from the true God and worshiping the animals and the dolphins and the whales and the water and the sea and all these things and their new little squiggly light bulbs and everything else they're worshiping. Guys, while everybody's worshiping the earth and the whole saved environment, all this kind of stuff, whatever, when they're doing this thing and Satan cloaks it in something good, but then there's a sinister scheme behind it. Now the angels circling the earth saying, stop it. Stop worshiping the whales. Stop worshiping the dolphins. Stop worshiping the water and the trees and the sky. Take care of it. But stop worshiping it. And this angel is going to be circling around it. And what's amazing to me is right after this angel finishes circling it, guess what happens the last 3.5 years? God begins to destroy it. The Bible says a third of the trees of the earth will be burned up. A third of the oceans will be bloodied, will be ruined and ruined. All these things are going to happen. The streams of the earth will be polluted. God's going to take the very God that the earth is worshiping and he's going to judge it. Here's the good news. When he comes back, he makes it all brand new. Isn't that awesome? Oceans will be sparkly clean. The rivers sparkly clean. The trees beautiful. The sky clear and blue. It's going to be awesome for 1,000 years till he makes a brand new heaven and new earth. And we'll live in that one forever. So we have a great clean future ahead of us. Let's just make sure we're not worshiping the wrong thing while we're here. Guys, here's my plea to you today. As we see the voice of the angel crying out, make sure you know him. Guys, listen, there's no other group that's going to get into heaven. I'm not talking no other group besides Calvary Chapel or this church or that. Some churches do that. We're the only church going to heaven. We all know that's ridiculous. But there is only one group that's going to go to heaven, and that's the group called Christians. That's the group called those who follow Jesus Christ. And not just any Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. Mark, why do you say the Jesus of the Bible? We know it's Jesus. You know it. But did you know that Islam has a Jesus? And Islam says he is not the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God doesn't have a son. That's a different Jesus. The Mormons have a Jesus. They say he's Satan's brother. That's not what my Bible says. That's a different Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness, they have a Jesus. Their Jesus, they say, is Michael the Archangel. My Jesus is not Michael the Archangel. My Jesus made Michael the Archangel. That's right. So the bottom line is, guys, what Jesus do you have? And if you don't have a Jesus, you better get one today and you better get the right one. If you don't know the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Christ right now. It's as simple as this. The Bible says he died for you on the cross. He paid for your sins on the cross and he rose again the third day. But you have to believe in it for yourself. You've got to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you've got to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll be saved and you'll be born again. And you're going to be with us, guys, not here when this takes place, but in the rapture when we're out of here. You guys want to go? I do. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the move of your Spirit this morning. And right now, God, if there's any in this room that don't know you, and maybe they've had a Jesus, but they've had the wrong one. They hadn't had the Jesus of the Bible, whatever the case might be. Lord, you're going to faithfully send angels one day to fly around the earth and preach the gospel. But Lord, today you sent a man to this room to share that here. And you sent men and women all over this nation and all over this world today, right now, Lord, to share your gospel. And we want to do it as faithfully as we can. And I pray that if there's anyone in here right now, God, who doesn't know you and they've not given their life to you, that they would never have to see what we're going to be studying here after this takes place in Revelation. That they would never have to worry about whether or not they take a mark of some man who declares that he's God, or ever has to be sucked into worship of any religion or the earth of anything or anything else. But Lord knows that it is only in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross that they might be saved. If that's you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer right now. Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner right now. Pray that. And I know I need to be forgiven of my sins. Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross. And your blood paid for my sins. But Lord, I've got to ask for my sins to be forgiven. I've got to ask you. So Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. And I ask you to be my Lord. And I ask you to be my Savior. And I give my life to you. If you pray that, the Bible says you're born again, you're saved, you're in Christ, you know him. And now you've got to share the gospel yourself, guys. The time is late. Father, I thank you for those that have received you. If there's any this morning that asked you into their heart, I pray now you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us boldness to share the gospel. And let us proclaim, Lord, with the angels of Revelation, repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. We thank you, God, for the work you've done today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.